Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Gina R., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 129, third paragraph, though the family does not, reading through three paragraphs ending, making a better practical use of it, and we will comment on all three paragraphs. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Carrie S., 12 Traditions, Cindy D. Our readers will be Wendy M., Liat TD, and Kathleen O., and our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. The reference numbers for Tuesday, October 2nd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 11,986, and Wednesday, October 3rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 11,995. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Carrie S. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. Am I being heard, Gina?
Yes.
Okay, great. This is Carrie S., recovered in Golden, Colorado. The 12 traditions. Oh, excuse me. Wrong page. Here we go. 12 steps. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Carrie S. I will now ask Cindy D. to read the 12 traditions.
This is Cindy D. from Texas, grateful recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Cindy D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 129, third paragraph, which begins, though the family does not, reading through three paragraphs ending, making a better practical use of it, and we'll comment on all three of those paragraphs. I will ask Wendy M. to begin reading.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Gina, thank you for your service. Everyone on the line. Though the family does not fully agree with Dad's spiritual activities, they should let him have his head. Even if he displays a certain amount of neglect and irresponsibility toward the family, it is well to let him go as far as he likes in helping other alcoholics. During those first days of convalescence, this will do more to ensure his sobriety than anything else. Though some of his manifestations are alarming and disagreeable, we think Dad will be on a firmer foundation than the man who is placing business or professional success ahead of spiritual development. He will be less likely to drink again, and anything is preferable to that. Those of us who have spent much time in the world of spiritual make-believe have eventually seen the childness of it. This dream world has been replaced by a great sense of purpose, accompanied by a growing consciousness of the power of God in our lives. We have come to believe He would like us to keep our heads in the clouds with Him, but that our feet ought to be firmly planted on earth. That is where our fellow travelers are, and that is where our work must be done. These are the realities for us. We have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. One more suggestion. Whether the family has spiritual convictions or not, they may do well to examine the principles by which the alcoholic member is trying to live. They can hardly fail to approve these simple principles, though the head of the house still fails somewhat in practicing them. Nothing will help the man who is off on a spiritual tangent so much as the wife who adopts a sane spiritual program, making a better practical use of it. All right, so again, my name is Wendy M. I'm gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado, and I thank God for entire abstinence this morning. So here's what came to me, a couple things. One is that they're describing a situation which for me, if I'm in my childish head, is, oh my God, this family is messy, right? Like, we don't fully agree. you know, they say here manifestations of alarming are alarming and disagreeable, right? And then later, you know, Dad's not getting all of it. He's, you know, he's working with others, but he's not totally getting the deal. You know, and so for me, what I did with relationships is I run. If something's messy, and by the way, this is messy, right? This is allowing mess. This is allowing imperfection. This is allowing us to have our oopsies. Well, you know, before program, frankly, more recently, I run if it's messy. I'm out of here. If we don't agree completely, right? It says does not fully agree. I'm out of here. Like, that's not going to work for me, right? I had a very childish version of how the world should run, and it was very black and white. And so, you know, today I say, let's agree to disagree. And today I can actually accept these imperfections. I can accept differences in the family, accept different perspectives, not perfectly. You know, I do oopsies all the time. That's why you guys get my 10-step calls all the time. But the point I'm trying to make is that we, you know, I've gone from this childlike state of it better be perfect. We better agree. I better, and more to the point, I better not err. I better not make any mistakes, right, in the relationships with my family, with anybody, but with family, with intimate relations, you know. And accepting these imperfections today is huge, right, because I'm going from that childish state of, you know, I better not screw up. There better not be any messes anywhere, especially with me, to this more mature state, a mature state that says, you know what? So for today, I did pretty good, right? 50%. Like, and that's enough. That's enough. And so this, the thing that this book does and these paragraphs do, in my opinion, is they allow the mess. They allow it. It's okay. As long as me, the addict, is being useful, right? Is making my 10-step calls, is taking my sponsee calls, is working with others, you know. That's kind of the deal. And I have to say, they talk about this childish state, right? And I just always am interested in this word, you know, because I lived in a fantasy world with the food, right? I can eat whatever I want and there'll be no repercussions. I can treat people however I want. There'll be no repercussions, fine, right? Fine. I was in my head, life on Wendy's terms. I made stuff up all the time. I didn't open up mail from my bank. I didn't open up anything that looked serious, mail, because why? I don't want to know what's actually happening, planted for on earth. I don't want to know life on life's terms. I want to know life on Wendy's terms, right?
Fine.
And so what's changed here is my mind, right? Because the disease obviously is in our mind. And so to change my mind and to become a useful, you know, practical, useful, grounded person in the earth, you know, with
fine,
gravity, is the maturity. That's the usefulness. And being useful every day gets me to God. Thanks so much for letting me share it.
Thank you, Wendy. I wasn't sure if you could hear me.
Okay.
We are now ready to take names of those who would like to share on these paragraphs. Who would like to share?
Laura W.
Gotcha.
Liat TB.
Liat.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Mary G.
Gotcha, Mary.
Lynn S.
Gotcha, Lynn. Let's do one more. We'll make it a half a dozen.
Freya H.
Freya H. All right. Well, okay. We'll stop with Kelly T.
Bonnie M.
Here's who we've got. Oh, here we go. The floodgates opened at the last minute. All right. We're going to stop there. Here's the lineup. Laura W., Liat TD, Kathleen O., Mary G., Lynn F., Freya H., Kelly T., Bonnie M. Laura, please go ahead.
Thanks, Gina. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered, but not cured, compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Gosh, I love these three paragraphs. You know, it says, this dream world has been replaced by a great sense of purpose, accompanied by a growing consciousness of the power of God in our lives. And yeah, you know, I lived in such a dream world when I was in my disease. Not only did I not accept reality, I didn't feel that it applied to me. I felt that, you know, I was beyond the rules, beyond what other people had to do, and that's the selfishness and the self-centeredness of my disease. Today, after doing these steps on a daily basis and finding a power greater than myself, you know, I do feel I have a better sense of purpose, but not because of me, but because of God in my life. You know, He likes to keep our head in the clouds with Him, meaning for me, I need to have conscious contact with Him all the time, but my feet need to be firmly planted on the earth. I need to stay in reality. I need to take responsibility for my actions, my words. I need to be a grown-up today. I need to have financial responsibility. I need to be a mom and a wife and a daughter and a sister and a friend, and I need to help other people. You know, that's where our fellow travelers are, and that's where my work must be done. I think, I don't know how many musts there are in the first 167 pages of this book, but must to me is a requirement. You know, if I don't do something, then something bad's going to happen. It's a must. These are the realities for me. There's nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. And I can honestly say through experience that when I am connected to my higher power and rely on my higher power every single day, my life is sane and happy no matter what the outside circumstances are. Things happen. People die. People get sick. However, if I have a connection with the higher power and keep my food black and white, because that's the only thing that is really black and white for me, you know, life is useful, and I feel like I'm able to have purpose in this world. So, thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Liat TD is next, followed by Kathleen O. Liat, please go ahead.
Good morning, Gina. Good morning, everybody. What I was getting from this reading this morning is something that has been getting clearer and clearer to me on this path of recovery over the years that I've been recovered, is that there is a process, and I was thinking about those early members. They didn't have rehab centers like today. We have people go for 6 months. Mothers leave their kids for 6 months to recover. They didn't have rehab centers. So they would just, I mean, they would go maybe a few days. I mean, Bill was in the hospital for a few days, and then they go out in the world, and they have that experience of transformation where they don't want to drink anymore, and they just want to carry the message out and find other alcoholics. Forget the family. Look what happened. A miracle has happened. And that was my experience. A miracle has happened to me. My whole life I was dying to get to a place where I'm no longer thinking about food or binging and all that process and body image and all that. And I was freed, you know. And so I just wanted to be around other people and share and carry the message. So there is this process that happens. And obviously from these paragraphs, we see that they also had that experience, and, you know, and I wish I read to my family or told, you know, this is what I'm going to go through, but, you know, but then there is that coming back to the home, and, you know, but there is a process where I was wild out there looking for people, trying to share the message, and it's part of the deal, and then there is more God flowing in. And there is some kind of equilibrium that happens as I grow spiritually and in this program. So I'll pass, and I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Liat TD. Okay, Kathleen O, you're next. You'll be followed by Mary G. Please go ahead, Kathleen.
Thank you, Gina, for your service this morning, and good morning, everyone. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California, currently in Arizona. And it is well to let him go as far as he likes in helping other alcoholics. During those first days, this will do more to ensure his sobriety than anything else. And it's important to help other compulsive overeaters because it ensures our abstinence. And we're less likely to pick up our alcoholic foods when, you know, less likely for me to pick it up when I'm staying spiritually fit. So as much time and effort that I put into OA, it's still important that I focus on family. And that sentence, we have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. You know, I can benefit others the most when I'm happy. And if I'm grateful today, I heard this once, if I'm grateful today, I'll be happy tomorrow. And I have found that that is true. And to be happy, joyous, and free, I need to be useful and be of service. You know, I can't force sane and happy usefulness. It happens as a result of working the 12 steps and practicing the principles in all my affairs. So step 10, you know, shows me where my attention and energy is, you know, during the day. And 11 shows me how to focus my mind and stay connected with my higher power. And those are just, you know, so important. And relying on a power greater than me to give direction when life happens, because life does happen and it doesn't usually happen the way I want it to happen. But when it doesn't happen on my terms, this does allow me to keep my feet planted firmly on the earth. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathleen O. All right, Mary G., you're next. You'll be followed by Lynn S. Please go ahead, Mary G.
Thank you, Gina, and thank you for all who have done service today. I'm Mary G. in Arizona, and I am so grateful I jumped on the meeting this morning. I wasn't going to because I have a doctor's appointment a little bit later, and I just thought, you know what, I need to go on. And, oh, my gosh, this paragraph, the first paragraph on page 130 just describes my life. I lived my entire life in a world of make-believe. I didn't like my reality, so I escaped. I escaped into food. And then once I had put the food down, I escaped into another addiction. And, oh, my gosh, you know, for me, to stay where my feet are is the hardest work that I've probably ever done, to get out of my head and to, you know, actually accept the reality, my reality. Yesterday I had to go see one of my doctors for my chronic illness. And, you know, I was just in a turmoil. I didn't like the fact that my husband wouldn't let me drive, even though it's pouring rain out. I didn't like the way he went. I didn't, you know, all of this. And this is the turmoil that was just churning in me. I was so angry. And I thought, you know, Mary, you just need to connect and shut up. And, you know, it takes an hour for us to get there. And I have to say that, you know, I just kept praying this prayer that I say over and over and over again. And by the time we got to the doctor's appointment, that angst, you know, that like knot in me had let go. I was serene again. And that was not me. You know, in the past, I would have just been so that raging maniac, you know. And for me, that last line of that paragraph where it says we have found nothing incompatible, for me, it's like this is essential. I have to have a powerful spiritual experience in order to live a life of sane and happy usefulness. Because when I'm in myself, in my head, in my will, I am not helpful or useful to anyone. And I'm so grateful today that, you know, I have these principles, which it talks about in the next paragraph, that I can, you know, try to live my life. And I live it differently today. It's not to say these things don't come up. They do. But I have a way of living with them that I don't have to pick up, you know, anything to escape my reality. I want to stay today exactly where I am. And so with that, I'll pass. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Mary G. Lynn S., you're next, followed by Freya H. Lynn, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. This second paragraph is really speaking to me, and it almost seems like it's more promises of the program, but it talks about this dream world that we're living in. I thought, oh, my God, that was the first 34 years of my life was a all fantasy and dream world and never being where I was, and catastrophe from one disaster to another, and highs like I was spinning like a top, and then lows like I couldn't even lift my head. There was nothing in between, and everything was they're going to say, and I'm going to say, and they're going to do, and I never lived in the moment, and I certainly never lived in reality, but it all felt real to me. I love that phrase where it says they thought their alcoholic life was the only life or was the reality. But to be given a life with a great sense of purpose, accompanied by a growing consciousness of the power of God in our lives, never in my wildest dreams did I think that would be my life. And not only that, this is the reality for us. It says it right here. These are the realities for us. We have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. What more do I want than a sane life and to be useful? You know, there's that part on the promises, the ninth step promises, where it says that sense of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. And this paragraph is just confirming it again for me. And when they talk about our fellow travelers, to me, that is every single person, not just OA people, not just 12-steppers, not just, you know, the spiritual group I belong to or anything like that, but everybody. It's so wonderful to have been transformed because I wanted this my whole life, and no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't do it. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn S. Again, this is Gina R., your moderator today. Let me just bring everybody up to speed if you got on the line and haven't heard where we're reading. We're at page 129, the third paragraph, which starts, though the family does not, we're reading through three paragraphs, ending with making a better practical use of it, and we're commenting in all three paragraphs. All right, Freya H., you're next, followed by Kelly T. Please go ahead, Freya.
This is Freya. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Gina. Freya H., grateful, recovered, compulsive eater, bulimic in Colorado. And I love the message being expressed here in the second paragraph that this is where our fellow travelers are. This is where our work must be. And so rather than looking for God out there somewhere, which was, you know, which I tried to do for so long. It's this is right along the lines of that message of God is within. You know, God's already here. God's already knocking at the door waiting for me to just be willing to be receptive. And the same thing with doing God's will. Like, guess what? God's will is to practice these principles in all my affairs to the best of my ability, you know, to practice tolerance, kindness, patience, love, humility, all that good stuff. And that nothing more is required of me, you know, like I don't need to be, you know, in order to fulfill my purpose, I just need to be doing the next right thing, just putting the next foot in front of the other, which for me is often really accepting, oh yeah, it might be really humble what God is asking me to do, or in my opinion, really humble, but who am I to say what the lasting impact will have? And as a newly full-time stay-at-home mom, there's a lot that my ego has to go through in order to accept that, oh, right, whatever I'm doing today, however I'm interacting with my children or, you know, doing the various housekeeping tasks, to trust that that's how God's going to use me to be of service, and that it does have an impact, and that my attitude, the way that I treat my family, the way that I interact with my children, am I present with them or not? Am I, what's my attitude when they ask me to stop what I'm doing and come be with them? You know, how do I respond to that? That's my opportunity to do God's will and to practice these principles in my affairs. So I'm so grateful because it keeps me from looking out there for, you know, fulfillment and satisfaction and whatever else, you know, meaning, and to recognize, no, it's right here. It's staring me in the face. And whenever I do my spiritual work, that is the message that I get. It's like, hey, right here, God's right here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Freya H. Kelly T., you're next, followed by Bonnie M. Go ahead, Kelly.
Good morning. My name is Kelly T. from New York City. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. Wow. It's amazing how I get into the line and I'm listening to the passages. I've done the steps and I've been working with my sponsor. In April will be 2 years that I've been with that sponsor, working in Vision. And the last couple of weeks, I've been struggling with the concept of my higher power because of my whole sexuality. And I realized along the process that I was trying to find God through people. And I hit a really low bottom. I hit a bottom when it came in that reality that I can't seek higher power through people. I have to meet God alone. And that has worked for me in the past. And for some reason, that the last couple of weeks, I was thinking in others. And it really made me realize how codependent I can be and how there needs to be a lot of work around my spiritual program. And in order for me to be helpful with others, I really need to put more time into my prayer meditation, not just including in the morning. Because the more spiritually fit I am, the more I could be useful to others. And I do believe my God is Mother Earth. It's the spiritual mother that I never had growing up. It's the healthy, loving, guided mother who loves me unconditionally. And it has taken me through this process that my journey without my parents being home, to grow up, to be an adult, because I'm so used to my parents doing everything for me. And the last 2 months, they've been away on vacation. And let me tell you, it's not easy. But the only reason I remain absent, complete absent, because I trust my higher power. Even when I take my will back for a second, I always manage to let go. Because I'm human. I'm going to take my will back. But the process is letting go and trusting that everything's going to be okay. It's just been such a huge spiritual growth for me. And I'm just so grateful for that. And aware that I need to continue to work my spiritual program. Is it every day? Thank you. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Kelly T. Bonnie M., you're next. And then after she's finished, we'll take some names for some additional shares. So if you've never shared before, you want to press star 1 to get in and just tell me your name and we'll get you on the list. Please go ahead, Bonnie.
Hi, I'm Bonnie M., and I am from Anthem, Arizona, which is only a little over an hour away from Sedona. When I first came into this program, I mean, I didn't even have a clue what spiritual meant. And I wanted that. And I've been in a long time, and probably like everybody else, I have what I call a lot of families of choice. And within those families, there's many that are not real healthy. And as far as I'm concerned, need to be the best me I can be with them. And in the beginning, in the early years in program, I lived in fantasy. I did everything that people before me who have spoken today have said. But the one thing that I've realized in doing this work and using this amazing book to be my guide and my stepbrothers and sisters in this program to support me is that the greatest gift that I can give to anyone, not just my family, but anyone, is to be as healthy as I possibly can. And I have to keep things simple. And this book has been, and this program has been such a gift for me. And I can get up in the morning. I now know I also have to have a higher power that works for me. And everything has taken a process. And I was told it's all about process. But I can truly say that the gifts of everything I need is right here in this program between my brothers and sisters and this book and my higher power. And with that, I'm passing.
Thank you, Bonnie. All right. If you would like to share, we've got room for maybe four or five people. Who would like to share?
Eileen S.
Gotcha, Eileen.
Teresa S.
Whoa, I heard a mashup there.
Therese P. in Montana.
Therese P. Okay.
Jane L.
Sarah N.
Jane, and then there was another mashup. Jane, what's the last initial?
It's Jana M.
Jana M. Okay.
Callie
Margo
C.
Duell. One more time.
Patty
Margo.
T.
Patty T. And then who was the other one?
Margo B.
Margo, we'll stop at Margo. Okay, here's what we've got. Eileen S., Therese P., Jana M., Patty T., Margo B. Please go ahead, Eileen.
Great. Thank you very much, Gina. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon. Very grateful to be on the line with all of you. Wow, I love these paragraphs, and I love hearing what everybody else has to say, because sometimes something I don't notice, I suddenly notice it because you pointed out. So thank you. And just the line about helping other alcoholics, you know, that this will do more to ensure my sobriety than anything else. And I just want to put out there on the line, my name is spelled I-L-E-N-E. So anytime anybody wants to give me a call, please feel free to do that. If I can't talk, I will call you back. Because the other day I was helping somebody, and in the moment, I thought to myself, nothing I'm worried about is up for me right now, because I'm talking to this person and helping this person. That's the way it works for me. So, and the idea of my dream world being replaced by a great sense of purpose and a consciousness of the power of God in my life, and I see the power of God in my life so much. And this program gives me a sense of purpose. There are other things in my life that I love that matter to me, but nothing consistent like with this program, working the steps, helping others, just the design for living. I don't even have to figure it out. It's already figured out for me. And I love what somebody said about this is where our fellow travelers are. And I just love all my fellows, my fellow travelers, not just in OA, but in the world. And the idea of a spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness, that is just so gorgeous to me. It just warms my heart. And I'm just starting a new job, and I'm a little bit nervous about it. It doesn't start till Monday, but I went in to do some paperwork yesterday. And of course, my head started in with, oh my God, oops, what about blah, blah, blah. And this is a job where I'm going to be able to be helpful and useful. And I need to remember to keep connecting with God there, because I get nervous. I mean, there's nothing that could bring up a lot of feelings than starting a new job, right? Having to feel, you know, teachable and new and, oh my God, I don't know everything, and which of course I don't. And so I just want to remember that I'm there to connect with my higher power and be sane and happily useful. And I've started a new love relationship. I might even be falling in love, you guys. Some of you I've spoken with may have heard me say that. And so, you know, God has brought these experiences to me, and I see the power of God, and I see God's work in my life. So I just want to just be in the moment and be able to ride this ride of life and show up. And thank you very much, Gina. So anyway, grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen S. Eileen with an I. Therese P., you're next, followed by Jana M. Please go ahead, Therese.
Hi, this is Therese, a compulsive overeater in Montana. And what really stuck out to me this morning was the last paragraph that we read. And the reason why is because I realized that my disease
wants to keep me separate. And there's all kinds of ways that I can try to separate myself and say how my disease is not as bad as an alcoholic's disease. But the truth is that it's the exact same disease. And I've caused just as much damage in my relationships with my husband and my children or child as, you know, the alcoholic, where I have, you know, my husband has asked me to cook dinner and I wasn't capable of doing it. Or, you know, he's asked me to do some kind of task and he's had to pick it up. I'm definitely the father in this story. And my husband has picked up the slack for a really long time. And there's been damage done in our relationship as a result of my disease. And I am now, after being in program for 6 years, I'm starting to come back to life, kind of like it said in the book. And, you know, he doesn't know what to do with that. He is having trouble. And I need to keep making amends and a living amends so that he knows that I'm not the same person that I used to be. And, you know, it's been a real struggle for us lately. So I'm really glad to be here. I'm glad to be in the program. I'm glad to be getting to a deeper level of abstinence. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Therese P. Jaina M., you're next, followed by Patty T. Please go ahead, Jaina.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Jaina M. in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's actually rainy and we love it. So this reading this morning has really hit me just right between the eyes. On page 130 at the top, it says, "We think Dad will be on a firmer foundation than the man who is placing business or professional success ahead of spiritual development." I have always believed that. I've always believed that spirituality and spiritual development should be of paramount importance. I have placed a lot of importance on that. I have made a career out of spiritual coaching with others and working within spirituality, metaphysics. Honey, I used to say, if it's woo-woo, I'm your boo-boo. So I have always been about that to the exclusion of practical matters. I heard somebody earlier today talk about mail piled on the table that they wouldn't open. Oh God, raising my hand. Yeah. Piles of mail. It's a, you know, it talks about spiritual make-believe. And it says that this dream world has been replaced by a great sense of purpose accompanied by a growing consciousness of the power of God in our lives. That just hit me so hard. And in realizing, you know, I've been in spiritual make-believe, because for all of my spirituality and all of my spiritual work and all of the things that I've done to do what I thought was enlarging my spiritual life, I ended up suicidally depressed in the food, you know, and so confused. I don't need a spiritual program. What are you talking about? I am spirituality. I help other people spiritually. How can this be me? How can I need this? And yet I did. I had a lot of quantity and not the quality, not the nuts and bolts quality that this program has really brought in and showed me the piece that was missing. You know, a growing consciousness of the power of God. You know, the way that I connect with my higher power is I focus on my breath, and I know if I'm breathing, my higher power is in me. So when I need to connect with my higher power, I just become aware of my breath. And this last line, "We've come to believe he would like us to keep our head in the clouds with him, but that our feet ought to be firmly planted on earth." You know, someone said earlier that Mother Earth was their higher power. So much of that rings true for me as well. And what the aha that I kind of got out of this today is that, you know, as I plant my feet more on the earth, as I dig deeper, as I go deeper and do practical things, stuff that I used to think was so mundane and below me, that's where I'm going to find more God. That's where I'm going to find more higher power. And thank you for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jaina M. Patty T., you're next. You'll be followed by Margot B. Please go ahead, Patty.
Hi, everybody. I'm Patty T. from Southern California and recovered today and grateful for that. I love all these shares, and this second paragraph is absolutely what I needed to read and hear about today. You know, I can remember many, many years ago when I was still in the food, seeking spiritually. I knew that there had to be a spiritual solution somewhere for me, if for no other reason than forgive myself for being who I was. But I didn't understand until I walked into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous in 2006 about how to create a relationship with God. You know, my belief in a higher power led only to proselytizing and parroting whatever I'd heard, but it didn't really come from real experience of that power, you know, because I never allowed it. I never conceived that it could do anything around the food. I thought that was all up to me, all up to me. And I even had friends and family say to me, look, you know, when I would be talking about the miracles of life, you know, look, we live in the real world. What's this doing for you, really? Because I was still isolated. I was still eating. I was still, you know, fearful. And today, you know, I see how my higher power is actually working in my life because I pray every day to move out of the way. I ask, you know, I do the set-aside prayer, and I ask to be able to understand and act in truth. And you know, that has been amazing for me because I do see miracles every day in small things. I have no question that I have a higher power working in my life. I know that the willingness to turn to that higher power is up to me. And for everybody in my life. And I have to respect that some people have different views on that than I do. And that's okay. But today, my feet are grounded in the reality of this world we live in. And my heart is attached and clinging to that power that's greater than myself. Thanks for letting me share all cast.
Thank you, Patty T. Margot B., you're next, and you will be our last share today. Please go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
There you go.
Hi, I'm Margot B. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive eater. I live in Wyoming. This is the first time I've been to this, come to this meeting. I usually go to a 7:45 meeting, and I missed that this morning, so got to this one. And really appreciate the big book, and I think the big book was a big turning point in my program, where I finally started to see recovery, really can relate to that idea of getting your heads in the clouds, but getting your feet on the ground, and that's where our fellow travelers are, and that's where we're going to be most useful. And the other thing I really related to from this meeting, was the sentence, these simple principles, though the head of the house still fails somewhat in practicing them. And I just really relate to that because I've had a lot of ups and downs and failures in this program. And, you know, people just say, keep coming back and just keep trying. So that's what I'm trying to do. And, you know, every time I think I have it figured out and I'm like, oh, I've got this addiction figured out. I've got it under control. And then God reminds me, no, you don't have it under control. You have to let me control it for you. You don't have control over this program. And So, but I just love that, you know, we can still work this program even with failures and imperfections, and just keep trying and learning. I've been in the program for 5 years now, and I'm still learning so much. It's like, it's just like more will be revealed as time goes on, and I keep seeing more stuff revealed to me about myself and my spiritual walk and my addiction and how to love other people and how to serve them. So it's all a learning process, and you can do it perfectly imperfectly. So really cool. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Margot B. And thank you to everybody who participated on Team Wednesday and everybody in the meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Iyot TD please read A Vision for You?
Yes, hi, Gina. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past, of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.